Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Hour number two of Sports 180 begins. Thank you for being with us this afternoon alongside Joel Silverberg, who is in for Heather. Heather will be back tomorrow on the show. I'm Josh Ward, and we are in Farragut today. God's country, as it's known here on Kingston Pike with the Pure Magic Car Wash, as we sit down with Mark Pankratz from Northwestern Mutual, Axiom Wealth Management. Mark, how are you?
I'm good, guys. Great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we've had a lot to talk about, too, because it's Florida. We played a story in the first hour from Ron Slay, who went back 20 years from when he and Donnell Harvey, remember Donnell Harvey with the Gators and mixing up with Charles Hathaway. It's a fun day with Tennessee, Florida. Anything can happen. It's kind of been that way the last week. So I think people are kind of excited.
Oh, C.J. Watson knocking out Noah's
swinging
front
elbows.
Tooth. Yeah. That was a good one. The sweaty Bruce Pearl and the... the Dane Bradshaw getting the student section from Florida railing on talking bad about his sister. And all. I mean, there's a lot of bad blood in this rivalry.
Now, was it the LSU game when Bruce had Dane go back in and he raised his arm up? Do you remember where that – I can't remember.
That was in Nashville against – I think it was against Oklahoma State.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of a different game then. Okay.
Maybe you're right. There's a couple of those.
There are multiple games.
Yeah. BP was all about the WWE actions. I think Euros actually went in and did some of that last over the weekend when they beat LSU, but – yeah, it's the Florida rivalry is always a good one.
You need some of that, I would say. Well, we appreciate you sitting down with us. We talked to you last week about what you're doing with the Axiom Wealth Management team and Northwestern Mutual, and I've tried to repeat that it doesn't really matter where you are, whether you're young, feel like you're early getting things started, or if you feel like you're behind with your financial planning. There's no bad time, right?
Yeah, no, and you know when I got done playing for Coach Pearl, I actually started with Northwestern Mutual Financial World with Coach Pearl's advisor up in Milwaukee. And then Coach Pearl called me one day and offered me a job to come down here and coach with him. He's like, I can always get back in the financial world. And so when I decided to get out of coaching, it was something that has always been important to me of being able to work with people or businesses of all different stages. And just to have a thoughtful conversation and meeting them where they're at and helping them try to get to wherever they're trying to get to. And so being able to work with all different types of folks around different things is super important to us.
What's your approach to maybe somebody who feels that, you know, my job isn't very lucrative and so I feel like I have to make all these drastic changes to be able to meet my financial goals? Well, what's kind of the most basic approach to kind of help encourage somebody, hey, you might be in a better position than you realize?
You know, there's so many parallels to coaching basketball, as crazy as that sounds. So much of financial planning, financial coaching, it's behavioral coaching and being able to help people understand, okay, well, if these are the things that are important to you, you know, let's take a look at the whole entire picture and see what adjustments we're able to make, and then be able to just have a thoughtful conversation around, okay, which ones are you willing to make? And it is hard. It's challenging. It's why finance is such a tough conversation to have with a spouse, with a coworker. And so being able to sit down and actually think through, you know, how important those goals are and learn more about what is available out there in the financial space. Because I believe most people want to be able to save, but they really don't know where to start or how to do it or, what are all the things out there. And so the more that they can get educated, the more equipped they are to make the right decisions.
Mark Pankratz is with us. What do you like best about who you work with, being part of the Northwestern Mutual team that you are?
Man, the people in our office are just awesome, man. My partners with Axiom, with Kevin and Jim and Chad and Daniel and Greg and the rest of our team, Caroline, who was over here earlier today helping you all, is just great. And then the rest of them, John Mayman, you had on last week.
Yep.
Our office is just full of really good people. And that's what it's all about, man. I mean, as much as we all work, you know, you want to work alongside really good people. I mean, yeah. I work less now than I did when I was coaching basketball and I was never home, but I still probably see my my peers, my colleagues, more than I see my wife and kids during the week, just because that's what a work week is. And so you want to make sure that you're working with great people. And we're blessed to definitely have that with Northwestern Mutual and Axiom.
How can somebody get started if they're listening right now and they're thinking, hey, this sounds like something I could use? How can somebody get started with you all?
Yeah, that's a great question. They could go to our website, axiom.nm.com, and they can see all of our contact information and reach out. And that's a great way to start. And again, it doesn't matter where they're at, what the question they have. We get them all. We've heard them all. They can reach out. We'd love to set up time to talk with them.
Hey, and Mark, we talked last week to Jaron Maimon, as you mentioned. So we kind of joked with him that he and Jarnell, they could have kind of cleaned up the Bruce brothers with name, image, likeness when they were playing at Tennessee. But now he's post-playing, so he's off to the professional side of things. But what do you think is important for players to know or athletes to know as it's getting more attention, name, image, likeness, and their chances to make money, but also managing that? That kind of comes back to it's never too early. I think that can be a benefit of this for college athletes, but I hope they get the right kind of help along the way too.
Oh, I think it's great for college athletes. I think they should get paid if people are willing. I mean, when we were doing it, you couldn't, like, Jaron couldn't have even run a Jaron Maimon basketball camp and really help people, but get paid for the skill development that he may offer to his kids. And so I'm thankful that they're able to do it. And this is with anybody. It's just understanding and management of cash flow. You know, these kids, so oftentimes they're getting money, but they don't understand, okay, well, what are they actually spending on a weekly or monthly basis? That thing called taxes, where does that come into play? What happens if, when the season's over, the name, image, and likeness money goes away for a period of time? How do I manage through that? How do I make sure that I still have money next year when I'm done playing and I don't have the name, image, and likeness? So it's a lot of similarities to what, you know, we as just normal individuals deal with. But I do think it is a good thing in many instances for the athletes. But I think right now, the way name, image, and likeness is, it is a complete mess for college athletics as a whole.
Yeah, I do agree with that. It's early. A lot is happening at once. I think there'll be, I don't know if market correction feels like an easy way to describe, but I think there'll be some of that over time as people get used to it, maybe some more regulation. But, yeah, we're in year one, so there's a lot to get figured out. That's why at this time I think it's even more critical, because so much is happening and so much is being thrown at them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And the big thing is that they're making short-term decisions with a life and a name and a brand in these college communities that lasts a lifetime. So same thing, same parallel in the financial world. Like, you can't make short-term decisions with long-term dollars, so to speak. And these kids are getting wooed by the opportunity to go make some money in another place, and they're forgetting the fact that if you're here, like a John Fulkerson, his season, hopefully it turns it around. But look, he's been here 6 years. The name and brand of John Fulkerson in this community is going to pay him dividends for the rest of his life because he's been here so long. Think of the Josh Richardson compared to Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris had a great NBA. He's having a great NBA career, but the fact that Josh Richardson or Jaron Maimon were here for 3 and 4 years lends it to where they're going to have a place in this community to build a family and do a lot of successful things here that you might not be able to have if you're just chasing the $5,000 check or the $50,000 check to go to the next school because of name, image, and likeness.
You're totally right. And of course, Tobias is doing quite well for himself. Yeah. It's really cool to see what he's doing.
He won't
back.
Need name, image, and likeness money anymore. He's all right.
But I think fans are more excited for Admiral when he gets a deal with the Orlando Magic than Tobias with the big role that he plays on an Eastern Conference contending team because of the time spent in Knoxville.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard Kentucky basketball fans that are jealous of kind of some of the success that Tennessee's had with the Grant Williams and the Admiral Schofields, because they got to know our players better than Kentucky fans got to know their own players, because they're all the one and dones. And so
yeah.
I think the fact that guys have been here for a while, and you looking around in this community, I mean, this community is incredible in the way that they take care of people, and I think staying here at a place like Tennessee long term is much better than just going and chasing a $50,000 more at another school.
Start thinking about your long-term. Go online, axiom.nm.com. Mark Pankratz right here in Knoxville. And today right here in Farragut, this is a really cool place, Pure Magic Car Wash. We're sitting here next to the conveyor belt, so we're seeing the vehicles come through, and we're seeing what they can do for them.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I've got three daughters, and if you have any kids at all, I mean, this is the place to take your car to get washed, because they vacuum it for you. I mean, I got Cheerios all over the car. We got grass from soccer. It's awesome, and they do it the right way. And this is a cool place out here in what you call God's country.
That's right, yeah. And it's judgment-free, too. So, like, if I put my vehicle and they through here and they find the apple core from 3 weeks ago that's somewhere jammed in the corner in the back seat, they're not going to judge you when that happens.
Oh, no, no. They're they may giggle. They may laugh a little bit.
Right.
But and then when you walk away, they're like, no, this place is awesome. They'll take care of it for sure.
Pure Magic Car Wash in Farragut on Kingston Pike, where we are one of several locations here. And Mark Pankratz sitting down with us with Northwestern Mutual and the Axiom Wealth Management team. Vols get it done tonight, you think?
I think so. I think Florida being a little banged up.
Yeah.
I think they played Monday. Quick turnaround. I think we'll be able to get this one.
Hear him each afternoon or each week in the afternoons on Sports Talk as well. Mark, thanks for sitting down with us, and thanks for having us out here today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Mark Pankratz on Sports 180. Joel Silverberg is here. I'm Josh Ward. We'll continue on Sports 180 until 3 o'clock this afternoon on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us as we continue until 3 o'clock. Busy afternoon, Tennessee, Florida coming up. Love the earlier tip-off time. I've spent so much time complaining about 9 o'clock tip-off, so 6 o'clock, ESPN2. Tom Hart's going to be on the call, by the way. Always fun when he's in town. We'll have all network coverage for you as well, so you can hear the basketball game, Tennessee at home against Florida, as we continue the conversation in Farragut on Kingston Pike at the Pure Magic Car Wash today. Set up here thanks to the Axiom Wealth Management team with Northwestern Mutual, axiom.nm.com. As we've talked about the last couple of days, opportunity time for Tennessee. Two straight wins, Florida at home, vulnerable, to say the least. Going to Texas this weekend. We'll talk more about that game over the next couple of days. But Tennessee has a chance to put something together. You're not going to win them all. Look at Bama lost to Georgia last night. Auburn almost lost to Missouri. Upsets happened. Duke almost lost to Clemson. But Tennessee went through a really tough stretch, going to Bama, going to Kentucky, going to LSU, three of those first five games, right, in SEC play. And they lost those games. But the schedule lightens up a little bit. Tennessee still has plenty that it can accomplish. I think fans are enjoying the Urosz Plavsic play as well, because, yeah, I think a lot of people were probably skeptical. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I was, with the amount of minutes he was playing. David Cobb in the first hour said, yeah, maybe I was just wrong here. And I think some fans had some reservation, but there's no denying the impact at this point that Urosz has made on the team.
Yeah, he's made an impact through the last several weeks. And, you know, through his first couple of years when he finally got eligible, he was kind of a defensive liability. He wasn't good at providing weak side help and didn't do a whole lot for you offensively. Now he's shown that he's got a little bit of range on the interior. He's been a little bit better defensively, and now he can contribute more consistently. And so you're finally starting to see his game come together. I was skeptical of the coaching staff last year for continuing to put him in and thinking, you know, why is this guy still getting fairly significant minutes at certain times of certain games when he has shown time and time again he can't do it? And I knew the answer was that when you've got somebody of that size, you want them to be able to put it together on the court. And Rick Barnes and this staff just haven't given up on him, and now you're starting to see some fruition from all of it.
656-9900 is the phone number if you would like to join us on Sports 180 this afternoon. We're going to talk to Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports 10 minutes from right now. Right now, we welcome Chris on to Sports 180. Chris, thank you for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was listening earlier, and I caught just the very tail end of the clip of Ron Slay telling Florida-Tennessee stories. And I've got my own Florida-Tennessee basketball story that I called in to tell you guys. This is from between 2004 and 2006, because there was a player for Florida named Matt Walsh who wore a headband. He had crazy curly hair. I don't know if you guys remember Matt Walsh.
Yeah, I might know where you're going with this story, but proceed, because I'm excited about this one.
Maybe this may be a more common story than I'm aware of. It may be that everybody knows of this, but I just, you know, I was there. I was about two rows away from where it actually happened, so I saw the thing like up close. So I was in the pep band that night. I was proud to be a part of the Pride of the Southland marching band back then. And there was another member of the Pride of the Southland band, a giant, baritone player who was not in the pep band that evening. He was in the student section. And in preparation for the Florida-Tennessee game that year, of course, this was in Knoxville, he had discovered somehow, I don't know how and I didn't ask, that Matt Walsh's girlfriend had posed for, I believe it was Playboy. It was Playboy, Penthouse, something along those lines. So he had made a copy of Matt Walsh's girlfriend's layout, and he had made a lot of copies and brought them to the game with him. And over the, let's call them the sensitive areas, over the top sensitive area on the printout, he had written, "Hey, Matt." And on the bottom sensitive area, he had written, "Go Vols." And at the beginning of the game, he was distributing those through the student section. So when the ushers found out, they found him and they were set to escort him out of the building. And he just went ahead and threw the whole stack. And from what it looked like to me, he had between 60 to 100 copies at the very least still in his hands.
He
just went ahead and threw them up into the air.
Yes.
And that was a memory of my time in the pep band that I don't think I'll ever forget.
Yeah, I saw it, and threw them straight up in the air, and they went all over the place. And Matt Walsh should not take it as any kind of insult. He's had a big impact on basketball, by the way. But Matt Walsh is one of the examples of, if you just think about over the last 20 years, the amount of Florida players that fans love to pull against, he's on that list, wouldn't you say? So. We went through some of the names yesterday, like Donnell Harvey. He was one and done, but an agitator. Mike Miller, Udonis Haslam, but Matt Walsh there in the mid-2000s. Played in the NBA a little bit. Now he's an owner, I believe, in the league in Australia and New Zealand, and has made a big impact on the game of basketball. But I remember that. I remember the Tennessee fan being ejected that game.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Chris, thanks a lot for the call. Teddy DuPay, remember him playing point guard
for
Florida?
Remember the name, yeah.
Yeah, he was a good player, spent his entire time there at Florida, and a lot of fans didn't like him. And when Billy Donovan came and the program was having such consistent success, Tennessee also is rising as a program. The Bruce Pearl games, too, especially early on, and Mark Pankratz mentioned Joakim Noah and C.J. Watson. If we did a ranking of players that fans love to pull against the most, Joakim might rank number one, but it's a really good competition among Gators players.
And I'm sure there are some Tennessee players that Gators fans have the same conversation with, and that's how you know it's a good two-way rivalry. But
yes, and
we haven't even mentioned Omar Payne yet, and he's probably got to be on that list, at least in the recent conversation. But that just goes to show how much these teams love to hate each other. And it's cool because you like the fact that it extends to every sport, not just football. And so you love seeing it happen in basketball as well.
Right, and then the win from, I guess it would be, 3 years ago, but the gator chomping by the Tennessee players, which is now a very popular gif among Tennessee fans, especially on a day like today. But Tennessee got a win down in the swamp, and it's sports. Have fun. They celebrate. I don't know that Rick Barnes loved it, but maybe secretly liked it a little bit. But also, that was a team with some veterans. They came back. I remember taking calls, and fans were worried, well, are they going to be locked in for the next game? And they whipped up on, I believe, Arkansas the next game. So Tennessee-Florida, it's just a different kind of rivalry.
Yeah, and you've got all that stuff that was happening leading up to the Gator Chomp down in Gainesville. But you see stuff like that all the time, and there are great memories from both sides that both fan bases would attest to in the rivalry, whatever sport it is. And especially now that Tennessee baseball is heating up. There was that video last year of the pitcher chucking his mitt into the dugout as he was being pulled because he just blew like a huge opportunity, and then Tennessee came back and won the game, and all these fans are loving this video of this Florida pitcher getting ticked off. So in any sport, whether it's Tennessee and Florida, there's usually some fun memories for Vol fans to be had.
Yeah, it's sports. Both sides aren't supposed to love each other, especially during the competition. We'll come back. 90 minutes of Sports 180 to go. What does Tom Brady do? What does Aaron Rodgers do? We will get the answers. Jay Busby should know when we come back from Yahoo Sports, as we have 90 minutes to go in Farragut on Kingston Pike at the Pure Magic Car Wash, set up here thanks to Northwestern Mutual and the Axiom Wealth Management team on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Tonight, number 18, Tennessee will host Florida inside Thompson Bowling Arena. Tip-off is scheduled for 6 o'clock. Vol Network coverage takes over right here on The Sports Animal at 5:30. Elsewhere in the SEC, number 19, LSU will host Texas A&M. Ole Miss will travel to Arkansas, and Vanderbilt travels to South Carolina to take on the Gamecocks. Elsewhere in college basketball, number 21, Xavier, hosts number 17, Providence. Oklahoma State hosts number 23, Iowa State. Number 22, Marquette, travels to Seton Hall. In the NFL, New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton yesterday announced that he is stepping away from the Saints after 15 years with the franchise. In the NBA tonight, the Grizzlies travel to San Antonio to take on the Spurs. The Hawks play host to the Kings. The Jazz will host the Suns, and the Bulls will host the Toronto Raptors. Have a good afternoon. I'm Logan Ward.
Sports 180 continues. Thank you for being with us halfway home. Sports Talk will take over coming up at 3 o'clock. Joel Silverberg is in for Heather today. I'm Josh Ward. We are at the Pure Magic Car Wash here in Farragut on Kingston Pike, set up thanks to the Axiom Wealth Management Team and Northwestern Mutual. And that music you heard as we come back in means it's time to welcome to the show Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports. Jay, we appreciate the time as always. And the NFL king again this past weekend with the exciting games, the viewers, and now all of a sudden you have the off-season conversation, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. What do you think early on in the conversation with the future of those two Hall of Fame quarterbacks?
Yeah, the NFL always wins, doesn't it? I mean, the storylines are always present. I don't know. I mean, you know, I could accept almost anything. I feel like Rodgers is not done. I feel like he's going to take another run, but I think Tom Brady very well could hang it up. I mean, you know, obviously everyone wants him to get the hero's send-off, but, you know, how much more accolades can we give this guy? He's got 15 different documentaries about him. I mean, everybody loves him. He's the GOAT. I'm not sure what else is out there, but I would not be surprised to see Tom Brady say, yep, you know what, that's it. I'm going to call it.
Is there another landing spot for Aaron Rodgers, or do you think it's more likely that he decides to hang it up?
I can't see him hanging it up yet. I think that just because he's the kind of guy who would like to shove it in the face of all of his critics. So, I mean, the question about the landing spot, I mean, the one that's been mentioned most often is Denver, but look at how competitive the AFC is now. If he wants to get another Super Bowl, wants to get another chance, he's gonna have to go through just a huge battery of teams. And I'm not, off the top of my head, I'm not even sure what the options would be in the NFC for him. It seems like the AFC seems to have more options, but it's going to be tricky for him, but I don't know. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch and see what rationale he uses for staying or for going.
Jay Busby's with us, Yahoo Sports. And you mentioned with Tom the idea of walking off into the sunset with another ring. That just doesn't happen that often. It happened for Peyton. He wasn't at his peak as a player. John Elway, so I guess if you go to the Broncos, maybe that's how you end things. But more often, aren't we going to have an Emmitt Smith with the Cardinals or Jerry Rice bouncing around to see, hey, do I want to play or not? But that doesn't affect their legacies, does it? Does anybody bring that up with Jerry Rice, or they just remember the greatness? That's how I see it.
Yeah, and they also, I mean, those guys didn't retire like right after an MVP season either. I mean, that's the question for Rodgers is how much is his legacy going to be dented by the last few years? I mean, if you remember, obviously, you know, it's tough to remember now, but John Elway, boy, that guy was slagged as the most underachieving quarterback in history, and then he goes and closes his career out with two Super Bowls right at the end of his career, and he played longer than Matt Ryan for an idea of how long Elway went with this kind of can't get it done label. So the thing that Rodgers has done is he's kind of twisted everybody's perception of his legacy, both because of his political stances and because of the fact that he just hasn't gotten it done in the biggest games lately. So that Super Bowl was 10 years ago now, and I think that Rodgers is going to have an interesting legacy to work with to see what it is going forward.
Now, kind of on the opposite end of that spectrum, Jimmy Garoppolo does not have great postseason numbers, but the guy's 4-1 in the playoffs, and he's about to play in his second conference championship game in the last 3 years. Is San Francisco in a position where they, regardless of what happens in the next 3 weeks, where they could consider a change at the position, especially after just drafting Trey Lance?
Yeah, I think that's the big question with San Francisco is that everybody figured that a change was coming. Everybody figured this is it. You know, this is going to be a last little run for Jimmy and then bring in Trey Lance. But if Garoppolo does manage to win a Super Bowl with them, what do they do then? I mean, because he's not a technically great quarterback. He doesn't have great numbers, but he's not terrible either. And he's pretty much lower edge of the top 10, kind of top of the teens. But, you know, there's those quarterbacks, those kind of quarterbacks, there's not that many of them in the NFL. And the 49ers are able to do so many different things so well that they can kind of cover for Garoppolo. So, I don't know. The plan has seemed to always be that Garoppolo will get one more year and then it's Trey Lance's time. But a Super Bowl victory or a Super Bowl run would certainly complicate that in a nice way for San Francisco.
Jay Busby is with us from Yahoo Sports. What do you think about the matchups this weekend? It's an NFC West matchup for the title there between the Rams and the 49ers. And then in the AFC, they just played a few weeks ago, the Chiefs versus the Bengals.
Yeah, it's obviously tough to beat a team three times in a season. That's what San Francisco's looking to do. But for, by the same token, it's tough to beat a team six times in a row. And San Francisco has done that with Los Angeles. So it's going to be fun. These are two coaches, two teams that know each other really, really well. And it's going to be fun to see if Los Angeles can finally get over this hump that San Francisco has placed in front of them. I mean, on the other end, as great as Joe Burrow has been, it just seems like this is the end of the line for the Bengals this year, just because the offensive line was so bad last week. And I don't think that the Bengals will be able to take advantage of the Chiefs in the way that they did the Titans. So it seems like that's going to be much more of a mismatch. And I think that the early lines are starting to reflect that.
Jay, since nobody really seems to have an opinion on this, I'm curious if you do. The NFL overtime rules, are changes coming? Do you have any solutions that you'd like to throw out there as everybody handled the ending of that Chiefs-Bills game without any controversy whatsoever?
You know, I don't care one way or the other. It doesn't matter to me. No, of course, it has to change. I mean, the overtime has to be changed, and we've had plenty of debate. I wrote an extensive column in favor of changing it, just for pure balance's sake. And as for how to do it, I mean, there's a million different ways to do it. But a writer to our new a response to our newsletter today was a really fun one that I thought was kind of a name that tune thing, where the two quarterbacks stand with you, hang a tire off of the goalpost, and then the quarterbacks say, "I can hit that tire from 20 yards." The other one says, "I can hit it from 25 yards," and then you know, whichever quarterback says, "All right, do it." If he hits the tire, if he puts it through the hole, then they get the ball. So, you know, obviously that's not going to happen. But it's kind of like a modified Dr. Pepper toss in from a college football game. So I'd love to see that.
Yeah, as long as there are no chest passes from these NFL quarterbacks in the Dr. Pepper contest.
Oh, God. Oh, shameful.
Hey, Jay, the Buffalo Bills fans have been through a lot, and they have another gut punch with the way that game ended. They also still have Josh Allen, though, and I think, you know, he's arrived and he's going to be great for a long time, knock on wood for his health. But do you feel bad for Bills fans because of what they've just experienced, or do you feel good for them because they're going to be in a position to have a chance probably for a long time with Allen at quarterback?
I mean, both. You know, certainly I feel awful for them. You know, those of us who live in the South and remember what it was like in the 90s being Braves fans, that's brutal to get that close again and again and again, and to have everything line up like they did this year and fall short. I mean, and to know that if they just managed to beat the Jacksonville frickin' Jaguars, that they would have had home field advantage. Not necessarily sure that would have done anything, but it certainly would have helped. You know, it would have been a little bit easier, a little less hostile of an environment. So, I mean, it's a tough thing because you never want to project too far forward, but everything is set up as well as it possibly can be. You've got your centerpiece, you've got your focus of the team in Josh Allen and one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And that's the biggest piece to get right. And so once they have that, they could work forward from there. But I mean, again, all you gotta do is go back to what we were just talking about. Go back to Green Bay and look and see, there is no guarantee that even if you have that key marquee piece that you could put everything together around it.
Matthew Stafford's lack of experience at this deep into the postseason, we kind of saw this a few years ago with Carson Palmer finally making his first NFC Championship game with the Cardinals. It just seemed like the moment was too big for him. Could you see something like that happening with Stafford or even Joe Burrow on the other side in either conference championship game?
Well, you know, Burrow went through all of this with LSU, and he just was as cool as he could possibly be. He's cooler than 15-year NFL vets when he was taking LSU through the championship. So I'm actually not worried about either of these guys. I mean, you know, Stafford has been around long enough that I think that if it had been 10 years ago, you know, if he was in his center's third year, yeah, I think you'd be looking at some nerves. But I think that his natural erratic tendencies are enough to worry about without necessarily worrying about nerves. I think he's been around enough, he's seen enough that I wouldn't worry about the mental aspect. I would worry about more about the bad decision making in the moment that that might cause trouble for Los Angeles.
Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports. Jay, before we let you go, last night it wasn't a surprise, but Big Papi gets into the Hall of Fame. No Barry Bonds, no Roger Clemens, no Curt Schilling. So what happens next? What did you think with the way that the vote went yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan of keeping these guys out. I think that that when you start getting into baseball writers trying to play judge, jury, and moral clarity director, I think that it gets into a real hair-splitting situation for any number of reasons. I'm all in favor of letting them all in, but making sure that it's very clear that Bonds and Clemens almost surely use performance-enhancing drugs, and I use almost surely is the broadest possible term there, to get to where they were. They're the best players of their generation. They deserve to be in there, but their legacy is in part defined by what they did to get there. And I think if the Hall of Fame is going to be a true Hall of Fame and not just a hall of guys that we like, then it needs to reckon with their full history.
I agree. Jay Busby, he is with Yahoo Sports. Jay, you still headed to Beijing? When do you take off to go cover the Olympics?
Yeah, at the moment, things can change on a moment's notice, but I am currently slated to leave next Tuesday. So I will be in touch, certainly, and I'll be writing from there, and we can keep in touch from there. But at the moment, still slated to get on a plane.
Yeah, well, safe travels. Hope everything's going well. And I do ask seriously because that is a big part of the conversation, getting in and what the athletes are having to do to be able to compete. It's a big part of the storyline going into the start of the Olympics, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I myself have been in quarantine, like it's March 2020, for the last 2.5 weeks or so. You know, haven't gone anywhere. So everybody's trying to do the same thing. Certainly, me as a journalist, I'm not nearly as important to the games as an athlete who's been working their entire career to get to this point. But yeah, it's a definite concern. Everyone is very worried about testing positive once they get over there.
Go check out Yahoo Sports coverage with the Olympics, the NFL, everything that's going on in the sports world. You know they have you covered. Jay is a part of it. Jay, safe travels. Thank you so much, and we will be in touch again soon.
All right. Talk to y'all soon. See ya.
Thanks, Jay. Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
Winter Olympics have snuck up on us. Like, I know we're seeing the commercials on NBC and all this coverage, but the actual event, and maybe it's just because we had the Summer Olympics a year late, but it feels like the Winter Games are sneaking up on us.
I think that's part of it, that we just went through the Summer Olympics and you're not seeing the turnaround, if not for the COVID situation that had last year's postponed. So, yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Plus, we get distracted very easily.
Yeah, and plus it's happening at a very busy time of the sports calendar, so a lot of excitement. Next couple of weeks.
No doubt. Conference championship weekend coming up. There's a lot of excitement for Tennessee basketball hosting the Gators tonight at Thompson Bowling Arena. It's a 6:00 tip-off. We have another pair of tickets to give away to the game. Why don't we do that right now? 656-WINS, the next caller at 656-WINS. You got to be nice to Logan Ward in the process. We'll win a pair of tickets to the Tennessee-Florida game at Thompson Bowling Arena. 656-WINS. To win a pair of tickets to the game. As we come back, quite a pop-up fact on Barry Bonds versus David Ortiz. Statistically, one in the Hall of Fame, one not. When we come back with today's show in Farragut on Kingston Pike, we're at the Pure Magic Car Wash. We'll be here until 3:00. Tell you more about what's going on here, as well as the Axiom Wealth Management team at Northwestern Mutual and what they can do for you with your financial future. As we continue on Sports 180, Joel Silverberg is here. I'm Josh Ward. You're listening to 99.1, the Sports Animal. Sports 180 continues. Thank you for being with us. We are on Twitter, on Facebook as well, at Sports 180. Joel Silverberg is here, and for Heather today, she'll be back tomorrow. We're with you every day from 12 until 3. Today, Joel, we're here in Farragut with the Pure Magic Car Wash. It's a really nice setup here. They can take care of your vehicles with different levels of whatever you might be looking for in a subscription plan for a car wash. They can do that for you here, or you can do a one-time deal, whatever the case is. But this is a beautiful facility here at Pure Magic.
Yeah, and maintaining your car can be pretty tough on your own as life just kind of picks up. So you heard Mark Pankratz talking about at the beginning of the hour. He and his family, they love coming here because they do such a great job taking care of your car. I know that you've brought your vehicles here as well. And so anytime that you come by Pure Magic Car Wash. They take care of you. It's going to look like you're driving away in a brand new car. So a great setup that they've got here. And it really is something else with the setup that they have here right here on Kingston Pike and Farragut.
We'll be here until 3 o'clock at Pure Magic Car Wash. When we talked to Mark earlier in the hour, he is a part of the Axiom Wealth Management team at Northwestern Mutual, and they've helped me and my family, can help you as well with your financial goals or questions you need answered, things you need to figure out with investing for the future. They can help you with that. They can do that for you. So a simple way to get the process started to figure out what you want to do next, go online to axiom.nm.com. That's axiom.nm.com. Axiom Wealth Management, part of the Northwestern Mutual family. And they have a setup here today. We'll be here until 3 o'clock with so much to cover. More on Tennessee and Florida tipping off tonight at 6 o'clock at Thompson Bowling Arena. We'll have all network coverage for you during the game on the Sports Animal. So 6 o'clock, Tennessee looking for its third straight win at home against the Florida Gators, who just lost two nights ago on the road against Ole Miss. We'll tell you more about what's going on in the SEC coming up tonight as well. In basketball, we will talk to Braden Gall from 440 Sports at 2:30. As again, we're here until 3 o'clock, and right now we hit today's pop-up fact. So yesterday we saw one person go in to the Hall of Fame as David Ortiz got the votes. I think he is very deserving. I don't think there's any question that Big Poppy is a Hall of Famer. He's beloved in Boston and should be for everything that he accomplished. But I also saw this as Barry Bonds is not going in. Roger Clemens, Curt Schilling left out as well. But consider this. This is just one stat. But David Ortiz has a .380 career on-base percentage. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, if you took away all of Barry Bonds' home runs and turned them into outs, he had a lot, 762 career home runs,
yep,
the most ever. If you turned all of those home runs into outs, Barry Bonds' on-base percentage would be .384, still ahead of David Ortiz, who is going into the Hall of Fame. And to editorialize the stat, that's what's a little confusing to me, is that it's not like it's close with Barry. You don't have to like him. I don't particularly like Barry from his days playing with the San Francisco Giants. But there's no denying what he did as a hitter even before using steroids, when that would have allegedly started. But the numbers show that he is definitely a Hall of Famer. And you have a Hall of Fame where the hits king, Pete Rose, is not in. And the home run king, or you want to just say the home run leader. Maybe he's not your home run king. But the home run leader, Barry Bonds, also not in. It's a flawed setup to me with the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Absolutely, and it's not even just about baseball accomplishments. It's a popularity contest, and I think that's one of the biggest things that's wrong with it. And look, Curt Schilling should be in, but the fact that Curt Schilling is somewhat borderline and he's made some comments after his playing career ended, voters want to decide, yeah, okay, we're not going to put him into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's right, because you're showing that you want to have a very structured, manipulated type of Hall of Fame, where it's not just upstanding players, but it's upstanding people. And the reality is that sports is just not like that. Like we've seen The Last Dance. Like, Michael Jordan, great basketball player, was not necessarily called the best teammate, was not necessarily called the best person, but you're not denying that he's arguably the greatest basketball player ever. It's the same thing in baseball, where, look, sometimes you just have bad people that are really good at sports, and that's the reality of it. So if you're conducting a Hall of Fame that's meant to idolize those that are really good from a skill standpoint of your sport, well, then those are the people that are going in. And if you don't like it, tough, but that's the way that it works. And the Baseball Writers Association of America wants to get all in their feelings about it and decide who they're going to elect in and who they're not, regardless of what that player's done on the field.
Yeah, and of course, with Bonds and Clemens and A-Rod and Manny Ramirez, it's not just those two, not just Clemens and Bonds. We're talking about cheating versus just not being liked. I think with Bonds, it's probably a combination of he's not liked as a guy, he cheated, and these numbers that are held sacred are now, they come with an asterisk. So I totally get that.
But it's the hypocrisy of the fact that there are other guys who did cheat that are in Cooperstown.
That, to me, is part of the issue, is if you think that everybody that's in the Hall of Fame was 100% clean, get some news for you. And David Ortiz's name was connected. But I'm also not arguing that David Ortiz shouldn't be in. He definitely should be in the Hall of Fame. So I think that Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens will they ever be? You think they'll ever be in the Hall of Fame?
Maybe.
I don't know what the Veterans Committee will do. I have no idea.
ESPN suggested that eventually they'll get in, but they may not be alive to see it. Which, I think is stupid. I mean,
Yeah, that's a long way to project, I hope, too.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, those guys aren't in their 70s.
Yeah.
So it's just, to me, it's silly. I think they should be in. I think Pete Rose should be in, quite honestly. Look, don't let him have involvement with the sport, but what he did on the field is Hall of Fame worthy. And if that's the case, then that's the resume. You don't put these guys in.
Yeah, the other issue I have with the hypocrisy would also go to those that profited from it, which has been covered, I know, time and time again. But Bud Selig and the executives of Major League Baseball very much profited from what they turned a blind eye to with all the home runs and all the excitement of Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds and the home runs that they were putting up. And then after the fact said, shame on you for what you did, for which we profited. So I feel like they're trying to have it both ways, and I have a problem with that. So I'm not saying celebrate what Barry Bonds did to add up all those home runs or what Roger Clemens did to maybe extend his career. But I do think that it's very obvious what they did on the field to warrant Hall of Fame status. And I do think it's hypocritical to see some that have gone in or will go in or those that benefited from it while now wagging your finger saying shame on you for what you did. I think we can point to what they did that was wrong while still recognizing all the accomplishments on the field.
Yeah, and so it's either a matter of either put those guys in or take all these other guys out that you've put in and over. And, you know, some of the people in administration, you mentioned Bud Selig. Bud Selig's in the Hall of Fame. Like, it didn't just oversee the steroid ever. Like, he is in the Baseball Hall of Fame. So you're going to let Bud Selig be in the Hall of Fame after essentially ignoring what happened during the steroid era and then benefiting from it, both from a financial and a status standpoint? It just doesn't make any sense.
So no lack of institutional control charges if we were going to try to tie the NCAA and college football into it? And then also, I think we talked about this off the air yesterday, and this has also been brought up many times. Look at the difference in how this is viewed in other sports. In football, we have known steroid users in the Hall of Fame. Brian Cushing tested positive, had his Rookie of the Year award stripped. They revoted, and who did they vote for? Again, Brian Cushing. He was re-awarded his Rookie of the Year award after he tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs. So in football, you are literally rewarded for knowingly cheating the game. In baseball, you are cast aside forever. Also, there's something odd to me about, like, Alex Rodriguez is a representative of the game of baseball, right? He has been their Sunday night broadcaster on ESPN. Now they're looking at building a Manning cast type thing around A-Rod, who they're also saying we can't have in the Hall of Fame. So he can be one of the faces of the game while also not being in Cooperstown with his face on a bust for what he did on the field.
Also, how
very
does,
odd to me.
You know, you're going to punish players that allegedly, not confirmed, allegedly use performance-enhancing drugs, but you know for a fact what the Astros did a couple of years ago, and we're going to uphold and honor their World Series title. And
what happened there?
It's a trash take.
You're not, that's well done. Okay, so my soapbox is getting slippery. We'll move on to hour number three of Sports 180. Joel Silverberg is here. I'm Josh Ward. We are right here at the Pure Magic Car Wash on Kingston Pike in Farragut. We'll be here for another hour. Stop by. Great place to have your vehicle taken care of today or anytime. Sign up with a subscription when you come by, as the Axiom Wealth Management team and Northwestern Mutual have set us up here today. Another hour to go before Sports Talk begins at 3 o'clock with Joel Silverberg. I'm Josh Ward, 656-9900 to join us on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.